Welcome, everybody. This is Ron Reardon. Welcome to Launch, another episode where we interview entrepreneurs at every stage of their business, but particularly at the beginning, and ask them about those beginnings. I'm here with Lee Cantor.
Hey, Lee. How you doing?
I am doing A-OK. I am fired up. We got a return visitor today in the studio.
Yes, we do. We got John Strobel, the inventor of the picture placer. And we'll also be talking about his second invention, the Love Cross. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, well, before we get talking about the Love Cross, tell us, give us an update of what's been going on with the picture placer.
Well, you know, I think, I'm trying to remember if we talked about this last time or not, but we are in the process of creating a direct response television spot, a 60-second infomercial, if you will, for a picture placer. And that is due to launch a week from tomorrow on the air.
Okay, and where will it be? Where can we see it?
I'm not sure yet. I think there's three small networks. We start out in a process that I think is called PPI, pay per inquiry, which is really kind of a misnomer because you're basically paying a commission, not per inquiry. You're paying for each product sold. So rather than buying airtime, you pay a commission.
Oh, okay.
So today airtime is so cheap because there's so few advertisers quite often the stations can make more money selling product on a commission basis than they could selling that on airtime. So you start out with those networks who will take your product on that commission basis, and then as you build up a following and you know from the demographics, okay, this really seems to appeal to a particular demographic, and for every 1,000 people who are listening or seeing it on TV, so many buy, and then you can take that information and go to bigger networks and get them to come on board.
Right. We were talking about direct response a few weeks ago, Ron, remember?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think it's an interesting point that John brings up about how, because of the economy, everything's negotiable. And airtime on TV, that's perishable. You know, if it's not sold, it's gone.
Yeah, it's the last thing that the radio station's going to want is to have dead airtime.
Right. So then what they want to do now, as you said, John, they're open to making these kind of deals, which maybe when the economy's more flush, they wouldn't want them to do. But they'll actually, instead of spending dollars for the airtime, they'll just get a commission on anything sold during that commercial spot, right?
That's correct. And it's almost kind of like the perfect storm for doing direct response TV, and it's why when you turn on TV today, you see so many direct response ads. And, Billy Mays has become a household name.
Right.
And you have a situation where the economy is slow, so there's fewer advertisers buying the airtime. There's more stations than ever. So you have people, these people who are out of work are sitting home watching television quite often, so you have more people watching and fewer advertisers. So seems to be a pretty good time, and we're really excited about getting the picture placer on air. It's a very demonstrable product. People, when they see it, they get it immediately and see the utility value in it. And we're going to offer as a complete professional picture hanging package for $19.95. It's like a $39 value. There's, I think, 40 different pieces involved in it. And so there's picture placer. There's a couple other patented products from the Hangman products, which we all packaged together. So if you go to pictureplacer.tv, it's kind of the landing page, and you can see what the promotion is, and you can see that
you can see the actual commercial.
And you see the commercial is playing in a little window on that. So pictureplacer.tv.
Yeah, I've seen that commercial. It really looks good.
Yeah.
I was taught when I was growing up that in every dark cloud there's a silver lining. And I think what Lee just said, that the recession's actually good in certain aspects. Like I said, there's more people at home, and airtime's negotiable on TV.
It opens up opportunities.
Yeah.
What we're hoping for is that the money that'll come in from this promotion will help fund what's necessary to promote the Love Cross, which I know we're here to talk about today. And it's kind of ironic that if in fact it's the promotional selling success of Picture Placer that funds the promotion of the Love Cross, because it was about 3 years ago when I was in Knoxville visiting friends, and I had some of the first production of Picture Placer with me, And I was showing it to them in their kitchen. And we had gone up to attend a birthday party for a friend. And in walks our...
Who was there?
We were at a friend's house, and in walks this friend's mother, which turned out to be Thelma. And she got all excited seeing that meeting somebody that could actually invented a product and took it to market. You know, and to me, it doesn't seem like such a big deal,
right,
but for a lot of people, it is. You know, so
you're a rock star.
Yeah,
it's a mystery to some folks.
Yeah. So she said, "Gee, John," she says, "you know, I've got something I'd like to share with you." And old Thelma, you know, she could, if she started talking, it was tough to turn her off. So I said, "Well, great. You know, maybe over the weekend. You know, we're going to be up here tonight and half a day tomorrow." And I kind of let it drop at that. And that night, we went to this birthday party, and I walk in the front door, and my wife sees some lady she hadn't seen in 5 years, so she goes off in one direction, and quite frankly, I was looking for the bar. So this gentleman had a wonderful basement with a home theater and a billiard table and a nice bar, and I pull up a stool and sat down. I was pouring a beer, and there was a tug on my shoulder, and there's Thelma. And I thought...
She found you.
Yes, and the first thought, you know, truthfully, that came to my mind is, uh-oh, you know, I'm going to be here a while. So Thelma started telling me a story. And as Thelma could do, it took about 30 minutes. I've reduced it to one paragraph. Mm-hmm. But in that 30 minutes, she talked about a period in her life. She was very, should know ahead of time here, that Thelma's a very spiritual person and a very devout Christian. And some 20-some years earlier, she had a real rough spot in her life, and to the point where she was even questioning her faith. And she said, "I was laying in bed, and her husband had fallen asleep, and she said, I was praying for God's guidance." And she said she got out of bed because she couldn't sleep, and she was walking across the room, and she was stretching. You know, she yawned and stretched her arms out, and as her arms were stretched to the side, she saw her reflection in the window and heard this voice clearly say, "What do you see?" And she was a bit startled, saw that with her arms stretched out, her body was really in the shape of a cross, and she said, "I see a cross." And she said, then this voice said, "Then pick it up and follow me." She said, well, she felt overcome with understanding and love, and got into bed and slept. She said, "And when I got up in the morning, I really felt compelled to draw something. And so I drew this this symbol, this cross." And, you know, and at this point, you know, after 30 minutes, she finally got to this, and she said, "Would you like to see it?" And I said, "Well, yeah, sure." And I didn't expect much, but she reached in her purse and pulled out an envelope and opened up the envelope and pulled out a piece of paper. And she had drawn this symbol. And when I first saw it, wow, this is really neat, you know. And so it turns out about 50% of the people, when they see the love cross, see the word love in it, and about 50% don't. I've had people stare at the pendant I wear, and they'll say, "What is that? I see an O, and I see an E," but they miss the V or they miss the L. And other people see it immediately. So, you know, I thought, you know, that alone made it attractive to me because it was a little mysterious. So she said, "You know, can you help me with this?" And I said, "Well, you know, I've got some time. I'd be happy to." And I kind of dropped it then. And
were you in the jewelry business or anything?
Had no.
You made any of these kind of pendants before?
No. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny you bring it up, because when I saw the symbol, my mind immediately went to, boy, this would be applicable to jewelry. We find out later that Thelma always thought it would look best in a wall cross, as did my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from her. She says, "What are you doing on that?" Right. I said, "Well, I've got an appointment with Ron Reardon, you know, and he's helped me with my patent before." And I said, "You know, you need to get it protected somehow." So Ron came up with some materials for her, and we shipped up to her on getting design patents and things. And unfortunately, Thelma had come down with cancer, and she was getting sicker, you know, to get a design patent is $5,000 or $6,000, and they eventually decided they did not want to invest in it. And So I just kind of dropped it at that point because I thought, boy, you know, here's something we could make popular and they wouldn't own it.
Right.
So finally, about 2 months later, my phone's ringing, and truthfully, I was avoiding answering her call. And finally, one night, I told my wife, I said, Joanne, I said, I think we better call Thelma. And I called her up, and she said that, she said, John, you know, I'm getting sicker. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be around. I'd really like to see something happening with the Love Cross. She said, I'd like you to have it. And she said, the just only request I have is that, A, you'll do something with it, and B, whatever you do, it goes to glorify the Lord. So I said, well, Thelma, thank you very much. You know, I will do something with it, and I don't know, you know, how long it'll take or whatever. So a couple of months went by, and I realized, boy, we better do something here. And I called Ron, and we set the papers in motion to get a design patent. And surprisingly, it came through fairly quickly.
Very fast.
Now, I spent probably, I don't know, 3 days, and I probably looked at, I don't know, 10,000 pieces of jewelry on the internet. Well, yeah, I mean, if you start searching Christian jewelry,
there's a little bit of that, huh?
Yeah, and I never saw anything that was like it. So I was pretty confident that
it's unique.
Yeah. So the patent went through, and
so you can get a patent on a design.
Yeah,
Ron?
Yeah, just on the way things look.
So that's not a trademark.
But you can actually get a trademark on a design, you know, if it's unique and like that. Like the Coca-Cola company has a trademark on the shape of a Coca-Cola bottle.
Right, that contour bottle.
Contoured bottle. You know, I think they were the second company to actually get a trademark on a shape. Okay, because the thing with trademarks is that if people experience it and know what the source of it is, then, you know, you can get a trademark on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with design patents, you've got utility patents on how things function, but you've got design patents on the ornamental appearance. And
right.
So that's what we went for, is there's not a lot of functionality with the piece of jewelry other than just wearing it. And but you can get a design patent, which we did, on just the way this thing looks, because it's a very unique look.
Right. So now, so you got the design patent, and what happened next?
So I was a little unsure on how to start, and I happened to be out in California on a business venture, and staying with my younger brother who lives in Southern California, who happens to be a very well-read Christian author, Lee Strobel. And Lee was actually on a deadline, so I hardly ever saw him. In 3 days, he was up in his office writing, and I was in the kitchen talking with his wife, and I started telling her about the Love Cross. And she said, wow, she said, you know, somebody in one of our small groups that we meet with is a jewelry manufacturer here called Bob Seaman. And so I said, I think I know that name. And I went on the internet and looked, and I said, oh, yes, this is Bob Seaman Designs. I said, they're the largest Christian jeweler in the United States. So, and lo and behold, that they're located right up the road in Costa Mesa, California. So I said, so I quickly jumped in a shower and changed, and we had a 6 o'clock dinner reservation in Costa Mesa that night. So I said, I'll meet you at the restaurant. And I drove up, and good old California traffic. There was a major wreck on 405, and I sat there for about an hour and a half. And by the time I got to where I was going,
but you had a meeting with the guy?
No, I just thought I was going to show up
and just go for it.
Yeah, I figured, you know, this was meant to be. So, well, what was meant to be is I'd never get there that night. So they were closed, and so a couple weeks later, I called them up and explained who I was and what I had, and I told him that I was going to be back in California in a couple of weeks, and so he agreed to meet me.
And so this is the main guy, the Bob Seaman, the actual guy.
Right. So we went, and my wife joined me this time, and I had a couple samples I made, and we sat in his conference room, and I can, I've been in corporate life all my life and sat in hundreds of thousands of meetings, and I can tell when he's just being courteous and you know, really wasn't interested. And then he kind of warmed up to it a little bit. And when I showed it to him, he didn't see the word love in it.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then he admitted that he really has a head of marketing who makes those product decisions.
Right.
So I said, well, is she here? And yes, so they brought her in, and she didn't see the word love in it either.
Oh, boy.
That's a...
You know, I said, look, I'm not interested in anything other than licensing the product at this point. So I said, I don't want to get into business or be in competition with you in any way. I said, but to be interested in a licensing deal. And they warmed up to it, and we negotiated some things over a couple of months, but nothing ever came of it.
And they license other products?
They have. Actually, Rick Warren, who wrote Purpose Driven Life, has something called a worship ring, and it's kind of an interesting little design. And you know, every time they sell one, they pay him a percentage. So they've done it before, but for some reason, we just couldn't work out something on it. And so I was trying to formulate exactly what to do, and there was a company that is very successful in wood products, and they're the largest manufacturer of different wood products for the Christian industry, and they're huge, and they're in probably 5,000 stores. So I was trying to contact the president of that company, and I called, and on his voicemail, he said, hey, you know, go to my blog. Everybody blogs, right? So I go to his blog and find out that he's going to be in Atlanta the next week at the Christian Retailers Association.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was this organization. So I quickly registered and I went down and decided, first I like to go to trade shows that I'm not necessarily participating in and see how people go to market. So I walked the entire show, and it's probably 65% publishing. And there's others, gift items and things. And it was there I kind of formulated the idea of creating a website that I could have a variety of products that use that are based off the Love Cross symbol.
Mm-hmm.
It could be jewelry, it could be wall crosses, it could be wooden, it could be metal, it could be garden trellises. I mean, it could be any number of items. And if I could find artists, are companies who are already in the distribution. They already have product in stores. Because we learned with the picture placer how hard it is with a single product line to get placement.
You bet.
So I figured, if they can include it as part of their line and just pay a royalty to me, that I would promote it on my website. So I might buy product from them wholesale, offer for sale at retail on my website. And
right. It's
also
like a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win for everybody. And so I found a couple different artists who there's a gentleman, David Broussard, out of Dallas, who has an incredible line of steel crosses. It's called Jeweled Steel. Jeweledsteel.com is his site. And he really took to it. So he's made a couple versions of the Love Cross and his methodology. So that's where it started. And then over a period of time, we did create the website, thelovecross.com. If you just go to Love Cross, it's some Asian site. Fortunately, it's not a weird site, but
right.
It's just, it's all in Chinese or something. But thelovecross.com.
Okay.
And there's Thelma stories on there. You can read about the origin of it. And then we have a variety of product, everything from car magnets to wall crosses and jewelry.
Now, Ron, when this new artist does his version of it, is that still covered in the patent of it?
Yeah. It's that particular image, okay?
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be that exact image. It can change somewhat?
Yeah, they've recently strengthened the laws on design patents, and it says that, if a reasonable consumer, when they look at it,
mm-hmm. identifies it
right. with your image, then
you're okay.
You're okay, yeah.
We're very fortunate. If you read the patent for the Love Cross, it basically says using the letters L-O-V-E that form this cross. That's what the design is. So whether it's in script or in different fonts, it's still covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as far as the magnets, who did you line up and how did you find somebody to do magnets with the Love Cross on there?
I knew somebody in the advertising specialty industry, mm-hmm. who used to have an office near me, and I went to visit him, and I said, who does magnets and things like that and decals? And he came up with this company called Staus, and I contacted them, and it's amazing. I mean, there are 600,000 different items you can get, you know, with your own logo on them or whatever. So we ordered the magnets, and of course, you don't want to just sell the magnet because I want to be able to tell the story, tell them the story of how the origin of the Lovecross design.
Right.
So we created a kind of a packaging card which has the story on the back, and then of course we had to figure out a way to attach it to this card. And I thought, well, I could staple it, but that's not good, and it's going to put a hole in it. So, and I found a company who can that would do not only the packaging card but do a blister, where the product fits in a blister and then the blister is attached to the card. Mm-hmm. Of course, then I had to find a company that could do that.
Just one thing leads to another.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I have more money in the packaging than the cost of the product. But, you know, so it'll sit on a peg hook, and it does have the whole story on it, and there's a barcode on it, you know, because we sold it retail.
Do you have Thelma's original drawing on the website somewhere?
Well, the Lovecross is the original drawing.
Oh, so it ended up being exactly what you drew initially?
Yeah. That's one of the amazing things is you know, that she drew it freehand, and it was the OVE, which forms the crossbar, the horizontal bar for and the cross, is exactly half of the distance of the L. And so, I mean, it was very proportional.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah. You know, what's funny, you know, and I tell a story, and a lot of people are moved by it, the origin story and the Thelma story. But there's a couple other stories around the Lovecross, I think, which are just as miraculous. You know, I had used to attend entrepreneurial team meetings, and one day there was an individual in there who had come out of corporate IT, but his love was working in wood. And he actually builds bat houses. He's got habitatforbats.org. And so he had this wood business. And so I walked up to him after a meeting, and I said, I introduced myself. Did not mention what I had or anything. I said, I'd like have something, an idea that I'd like to talk to you about, and perhaps you can make some products for me out of wood. So we agreed to meet down at his shop. And he was, you know, way south of Atlanta. And so I went down there on a weekend, my wife and I, and we met out in his front yard, and we're talking. And as we were walking in to see his wood shop, I started telling him Thelma's story, and never once mentioned never had said the word cross or love cross. I just started telling Thelma's story, and he stopped me in the middle of the story. He said, "You want me to make crosses, don't you?" And I looked at my wife and looked at him. I said, "Yes, but how did you come to that conclusion?" And he said that, you know, he knew that his lot in life was to work in wood. And that's why he'd built this huge workshop, and he has CNC machines and everything. But he was struggling with what he's supposed to be making. He said, "I came out of church 2 weeks ago," and he thought, "I've been praying about it." And he said, "I looked up, and I saw the cross on top of the church." He said, "That's it. I'm supposed to be making crosses."
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
So he made some samples for me, and I decided it'd be a good idea to hang one of these in a Christian store and see
how it's received.
Right, and see what the value people would put on it. So there was a large Christian store near my house, which unfortunately is no longer there, but I got to know the owners, and he said, "Sure, you can hang it in here." And I printed up Thelma's story on a card and put it next to it. And one day, there was a goldsmith who designs jewelry and sells his designs, very contemporary designs. He's an old German guy, and he sells these in retailers across the country. And he happens to live in Georgia. And they're not in Atlanta, but they were in Atlanta that day and were delivering some jewelry to a store that carries his product line. And his wife, who was a newly baptized Christian, was after him all day about stopping at a Christian store, and she wanted to buy a gift for somebody.
Right.
So out of all the places to be in Atlanta. And by the way, the store that they were delivering jewelry to was nowhere near the it's probably 8 miles away from the store that I had the cross hanging in. But somehow they happened to go by it, and she spotted the store. And she said, there's a Christian store.
Turning in.
They stopped, and they walked in, and she was buying something at the counter, and the owner noticed her earrings. And it was a design that Hans had designed, and he said, do they say something? And she pulled her hair back, and she said, no, it's just a geometric design. He says, oh, I thought maybe it said love or something. And she says, no, it's just a geometric design. And he said, she said, why do you ask? And he said, well, I've got something I'd like to show you. He walked them back of the store and showed them the love cross. And Hans, because he likes clean lines and you know, does very contemporary things, he really liked it. So the owner said, well, I know the guy who owns the design patent on this, and they gave her my phone number. And next thing I know, they called and asked if I'd be interested in them designing some jewelry around it.
And the cross was all the way in the back of the store.
Yeah.
Where she wouldn't have normally seen it.
That's right.
Wow.
And they asked me, would you be interested? And I said, well, I'm looking for somebody to do this. So it's...
It's a testament to your ability to network and to make relationships that people really get invested in your success by sharing it and talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's a good lesson for our listeners.
It really is, because, when you think of all the little slender threads, that have come together, you go one place and, get stuck in traffic and it doesn't work out, and then something else just, it's almost like this cosmic cloud, that's I call it the psychic network,
Right.
Yeah.
That's connecting everything.
Well, they say that at the moment of commitment, the universe conspires to assist you.
I've heard that, and I believe it.
And, whether you hear it that way, or you say the universe, or you say it's the source, or the first source, or it's God, it works.
Yeah, there's something out there.
That's right. That's right.
It's a great story, and it's, Ron, is it common that an inventor has two totally different kind of inventions?
I think you've probably heard on the oldie stations that there's these one-hit wonders.
Mm-hmm.
And most inventors, will invent one thing, and that's it. And so it's kind of uncommon. While a lot of inventors will have lots of ideas, to actually execute on more than one is very, very rare.
Uh-huh.
So John's in some rare territory here.
Yeah. Of course, I didn't design the
right, press, but you recognize.
Yeah.
Right.
And one thing led to the other, so.
That's right. Okay. So, yeah, I agree with you, Lee, that, the ability to network really is essential for an entrepreneur to really get things launched.
Because you don't know where opportunity is. You got to meet people and kind of pick their brain and see where things go.
Yep. Well, once you're in motion, things start happening.
Yes, motion's good.
That's right. Well, John, thank you so much for giving us an update on the picture placer and for sharing with us just an incredible story for the Love Cross.
Thank you for having me.
And then where can people find it?
If you go to thelovecross.com.
That's T-H-E, Love Cross.
That's correct. And there's on the homepage, there's several sections. Know It section, which talks about Thelma's story. And,
right.
And there's See It and Share It. And there's Own It. And Own It is where you get into the catalog of products.
Of all the stuff you can buy.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. This has been another really informative edition of Launch, where we interview entrepreneurs in every aspect of their business.